Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is Rob Nash. On stage, the Rob Nash Project uses a backdrop of video montages showing one suicidal kids ripping up their suicide notes, throwing away their razor blades, and flushing pills. Rob has hundreds of names and signatures tattooed on his arms, taken from over 900 suicide notes he's received from kids who experienced his show in person or from YouTube clips, and some of them have his lyrics tattooed on them. It's a mutual relationship of acceptance that goes back and forth and conquers.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Rob. How you doing?
Hey, it's good to be live, man.
Yeah, I got you, man. That's you got a cool story, dude. That's really cool. How'd you come up with starting something like this?
Yeah, you know, most musicians start off with saying, yeah, I always wanted to be a musician. That wasn't the case for me. My worst mark in school was music. Tried out for the choir, didn't make it because my voice wasn't good enough. But when I was 17, I was in a car accident, actually found with no pulse, not breathing. And obviously I was resuscitated, but I was brought to the hospital and they rebuilt my skull with metal, and there's metal in my chest and a lot of operations. And I went from a 6'5" dude that played some sports to a guy that was getting bathed by his mom. Yeah, I went to a really dark place. You know, a lot of people were really concerned about my physical injuries, asking me like, how's the skull pain and stuff. And yeah, Nobody was asking the important question. That was what's going on inside of that skull. Because when you go through something traumatic like that, you know, what that does to you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that was the bigger struggle. And for 2 years, I was suicidal. I didn't want to be alive. Did a lot of stupid things. None of my friends knew. None of my family knew. And I made it through that time. But I wondered how many other people are like me having those same dark thoughts and not talking about it. And I was like, man, I need to tell my story. And I was like, I got to do something with my life, you know? And so I thought music would be a good way to tell a story. So I started playing music, had a few hits on the radio, and then, walked away from my record deal and started doing, I was offered a 9-month tour going through schools, telling my story. And I was like, yeah, this is what I got to do. And everyone thought I was crazy. When you walk away from a record deal, you don't have a dollar, you just owe money. But it was one of the best decisions I ever made. And that 9-month tour turned into 12 years, and we saw a lot of breakthroughs.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. That's definitely a unique story, and I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, when you're going through something like that, people don't really know what to say to you, so they'll throw cliches at you, you know. And I had people telling me that, you know, getting hit by that semi-truck, it was fate. You know, some of my family told me that, you know, God did it to me because I was a bad kid. You know, it was a punishment. But the most common thing people would say is they'd say everything happens for a reason. And I know that people mean that or say that with good intentions, but that brought me to an even darker place. I'm like, everything happens for a reason? Like, yeah. What's the reason I was hit by a semi? And thinking there was some big life lesson actually brought me to a very dark place. And until somebody came out to me, said the most amazing thing. He's like, Rob, you think everything happens for a reason, right? And I was like, that's what everyone tells me. He goes, I think I know the reason you were hit by a semi-truck. I'm like, what is it? He goes, I think you got hit by a semi-truck because you guys were going too fast on an icy road. And I was like, shit. And that sounds simple, but that's what set me free. Yeah. Because I realized I wasn't a puppet. And I was like, I'm done being angry. I'm done being suicidal. I got a second chance. Maybe I should do something with this. And I remember I screamed at the sky and I was like, man, I want to do something today. Like, I got to make this second chance count. And I thought I'd hear like some voice inside of me telling me to move to Africa and build a well. Yeah. And I would have done anything I felt in that moment. But that gut feeling that I got, you know, you get those promptings sometimes.
Sure.
What I felt in my heart was, phone the semi driver that hit you and tell him you're alive. And I was like, what? So I was phoning the police and I'm like, hey, can I get the number of this truck driver that ran me over? And the cops are like, no. But I kept trying, and finally one cop gave me his number, and a big trucker from America answers the phone, and I said, hey, do you remember that car accident up in Canada? And this dude got really quiet. He goes, yeah. I said, just felt I should call you and tell you, like, I'm okay, man. Like, I'm alive. I survived. And he starts crying, and I could tell that set him free.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what the important part of that story isn't what happened to him. It's what happened to me. Like, I had never done anything for anyone in my life except for me until that day. But I was like, that felt good. I want some more of that. So, yeah, I was like, that, I became a new craving. You know, I wanted to do something for somebody else with my life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's really cool. Tell us a little bit about your music. Like, what are you putting out? You still putting out albums? Are you still working on it? Or are you just doing the other thing exclusively now?
Yeah, so the 12-year tour definitely consumed most of my time, and I hadn't done writing for a while. But, you know, during that tour in the beginning, I was meeting so many people with incredible stories, and I started writing about people that I met on tour. I'd go on, our shows got big again. Before COVID, we were back in big theaters or even arenas. We would do free shows where we would like bus in schools through and pay for the school buses. We'd fly in kids from Northern Reserves. I tell a story about a girl that we met in lockdown, you know, tell her story about an eating disorder, something she struggled with. And then I'd be like, do you want to meet her? And we'd bring her out on stage to perform with us. And so we told all these stories of people having breakthroughs, because my goal is to show that people that not every story of mental illness ends in a suicide. Not every story of addiction ends with an overdose, you know?
Yeah.
And so I wrote a lot of songs about the people, but I toured so much, I hadn't been writing in a while. When COVID hit, I looked at my team and I'm like, I guess it's time we share these stories that we've collected over the years. So we started shooting a documentary where we followed up with some of the kids that gave us suicide notes. Like, where are they now? It's all done now, and we're just having negotiations, figuring out what platform to put it on. And we also turned it into a school curriculum. And I started writing music again. And my producers, who've been producing me ever since my record deal days, they just love what I'm doing. So they were producing me for free just because they wanted to be a part of it. I started writing new music, have 18 new songs. And they're like, so can we share your music with the world again? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. So they started meeting with some colleagues here in Canada, and I signed with Warner. Didn't sign a record deal or publishing or management, just a distribution deal as Warner Canada, one of the biggest labels, said, we want to help get you out there and share this music. So, yeah, the new album, first 9 of 16 songs just came out, and the response has been incredible.
Yeah, that's really cool. Tell us about what you got coming out later this year for the fans.
We're probably not going to tour, or we're going to be able to tour just yet because of restrictions still in Canada. But this documentary is coming out, album as well. And then I actually put together a team of counselors and psychologists and social workers and teachers. I showed them these stories of these kids that we collected, like of the kids that gave us suicide notes, like where they are now. And I said, can you guys turn this into a school curriculum? So they took and they made like 5-6 minute episodes where schools can watch this curriculum, and they watch an episode. They'll watch my story, for example. Then they'll journal online and say, hey, what was Rob's struggle? What was his breakthrough? How did he get help, and how is he helping other people? And then they watch somebody else's story along with music videos. And then by the end, they journal and say, hey, what's your struggle? How could you find a breakthrough? And the response has been amazing. We beta tested the curriculum in 4 provinces in Canada, and now that is available on our website. So we've got a lot of people signing up now. And that's kind of through the documentary, the new music, and the curriculum, that's kind of our focus right now.
All right. Tell you what, let's take a listen to your song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more, okay?
Beautiful.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go.
You crossed my heart and I hope you're fine. You better understand you're never far behind. The moment always these dark skies. I'm your ally, you need to know. Even when stars shine, I take a red eye. Sit by your bedside, you need to know. When there's no light, you're waiting for sunrise. I can hear your cries, you need to know. You better believe I'm ready to remind. I'm still your ally, you need to know.
So that's a fascinating song. You know, the one thing that is a little impressive about you is your authenticity. So I could tell when I'm talking to someone, you know, you're not full of shit. You're just kind of being yourself. You're doing what you do and you're just being honest. And you can kind of see the same thing, I think, in your music. So congratulations.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you know what? Well, when you're doing something like this, young people especially, like they're sitting in the audience, they can smell BS a mile away. They want to know it's genuine. And that's why I never really had cameras following us around on this tour. You know, I didn't want anyone to think this was a publicity stunt. Our tour was growing. You could see, you know, everybody sit down in the audience. They're going, what's the catch? Is this a publicity stunt? And like, no, there's no cameras. And they're like, well, what did he charge to do this? And they're like, it's free. He does this all through his charity. Oh, okay. What is he going to sell us? And it's like, nah, our music's free, you know? And once they saw that, especially when I started doing shows on reservations, like indigenous reservations, here comes another white boy trying to save the day, you know? But once they saw I was genuine, not only was I welcomed, I was embraced, and I was actually given my spirit name. The indigenous people call me Bear Chief, the protector. And I tattooed on my right hand the head of a bear with chief across the fingers. And to me, that was the greatest honor, being embraced by their community.
Yeah, that's very cool. You know, the one thing I wanted to ask you, if you had an influence musically or otherwise, who is like an inspiration that you'd want to be in a room with, dead or alive?
Oh, there's a few, but one that really has always stood out to me is the band Blue October. Blue October... lead singer Justin, he is so raw about how he talks about his mental illness. He's always kind of set the standard for me lyrically. He's so vulnerable in his lyrics. You know, he's only had a couple songs that are big hits, like his song Hate Me, but I have probably 8 of his albums on my phone, and I just always moved by his vulnerability. And so him and 21 Pilots, and I'd love to meet Marilyn Manson too. That man seems like a an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about your charity. You mentioned it briefly. This is your charity that you started. Is it someone you work with? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so when I started doing this tour, I refinanced my home and it was just me and my guitar. You know, I was just trying to figure out how to keep going and wasn't sure at the end of the 9 months what I would do, but other communities kept calling and asking, hey, we heard about your effectiveness. Can you come to our community? And it started growing and I was like, so I contacted an old mentor of mine, Tom, and I said, hey, can you help me figure out how to do this? Because I couldn't even take a donation because I didn't have charitable status. So he helped me set up a charity called the Rob Nash Project. Got a board of directors, and I have an absolutely amazing team. We do everything through the charity. And, you know, my goal was always that, you know, through the work that we did, I just didn't want to just go to the communities that could afford a big concert. We wanted to make sure that we could get to all the places and talk to anybody that needed it and never let money stand in the way. And the charity allows us to do that.
That's very cool. Yeah. Tell us about when you think of yourself. Is there a certain app on your phone that you're kind of addicted to that you can't live without?
I'd probably be stuck with YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes, it's like last night, it was watching hockey fights because I'm Canadian, so that's what we do. But music documentaries, true crime stuff. Yeah, I'm always sucked into YouTube, but I love music stuff. Music documentaries just always move me, you know. Yeah, it's probably YouTube.
Okay. Do you have one of the things I like to ask every guest and try to warn people, because half our listeners are songwriters and half of them are fans, scams. Are there any scams you want to warn us about that you might have fallen for that are prominent in Canada or online or anything, just so we can protect each other?
I don't know specifically about scams, but I think, you know, when people come up to me and they're like, hey, do you have any advice? You know, for me, I'm always like, figure out why you're doing this. Like, if you want to be a musician, if you're doing it because you want to be famous, you don't sign autographs for a long time. If you're doing it because you want to be rich, you don't make money for a long time. But, you know, if you got a why, a purpose behind what you want to do, where you want to tell a story, that gets you through those tough times. You know, and people so quickly, I've seen people sign a lot of deals without having read through them, you know. And when I decided that I wanted to be a musician, one of the first things I did is I went to the library and I bought a book called The Indie Band Bible, where it just talked about mistakes that you can look for in the industry and understand that if you're going to sign something, you better know what you're signing and stuff. Yeah, I think people sit back and they're just waiting for somebody to walk through the door and discover them on a Tuesday night in some pub, and it just really doesn't work that way. When I saw what it took to get a top 10 hit on the radio, it was pretty disgusting. The industry is pretty warped, but at least the way the label I was with did it. But I'd say the biggest thing is try to find people. You said it before, you could tell that I was genuine. That means a lot to me, and that's what you need to look for, to people that are genuine if you're going to partner with them. And have that radar on in every conversation you go into. Like right now my deal with Warner, it just feels so right. And you can tell that they care more about the content, the lyrics, the message within what I'm doing. And if a label or management company or anything, they don't understand your mission, they don't care about why you're doing it, look out.
Yeah, that's totally true. All right, I got two more questions for you. The first one is, what is your spirit animal?
Well, as I said before, I wouldn't have normally said anything except the fact that the indigenous people call me Bear Chief in their language. It was Yayo Enna, which is Bear Chief, the protector. And yeah, I guess that would be the spirit animal that I would go with because I was given that name.
Awesome. Tell us about your website. Where can people buy your stuff, stream it, reach out to you? Just anything you want to share with the fans.
Yeah, if you go to robnash.ca, you can check out lots about, you know, the curriculum, the music, all that. Our new album, there's 18 songs total. The whole album comes out in June, but as a third here in June, we actually have the first 9 songs are out. I'm really pumped about this album. There was one award I got here in Canada where the other 3 guys getting the award backstage were wearing their army fatigues and they were missing limbs. And I thought, what am I doing here? I'm just a musician, you know? But then before they introduced me, they said, this next guy is fighting a different kind of a war. this guy's fighting a war against an invisible enemy called mental illness. And the artist in me went, whoa, I could write about that. So our new album is called This Is War, and it talks about the war against mental illness. And there's moments in the album where I'm describing what it's like to be on the front lines in the war. And there's moments you're in triage, and there's moments you're in victory mode. So whether it's the song This Is War or the song you played earlier, The Ally, you know, that's all based around this war theme, and we're not meant to do this on our own. So it's time that we unite, because I truly think, man, I think we are losing some of the most gifted people to mental illness. If I could leave any message with your listeners, man, especially as songwriters, when I meet somebody that tells me they've struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts, I'll be like, oh, so do you sing? Do you paint? Do you have a diary? Do you dance? You know, poetry? And they'll be like, yeah, I paint. How did you know? After talking with literally hundreds of thousands of people in Canada, I think there's an absolute connection between the arts and mental illness. As artists, we've been given extra emotion that we are meant to channel into a painting or into a song. And until I figured out that pour my emotions into a song, it almost overwhelmed me and took me out, because I was bottling it up and keeping it inside. And I think that's why we see so many suicides in Hollywood, in the music business. Look at even recently, everything from Chester Bennington, Chris Cornell, Kurt Cobain. We've been given this extra emotion as artists that we're most supposed to channel into something. And that emotion can feel like a curse sometimes. It does. Like, some people go through a tough day, they can wipe it off and keep walking. Us artists, we can't. My dad passed away in this last year. And man, it overwhelmed me. And I watch some people go through a tough day and they can wipe it off and keep walking. I can't. I have this extra emotion, and I thought I was cursed with it until I realized it wasn't a curse. It was a gift. I could channel this emotion into a song. Pour those emotions that you have into songs, into a painting, into poetry. Find a way to get it out there. This girl just came up to me at the mall the other day, and she's like, Rob, I'm a huge fan. You know, I have depression. I have suicidal thoughts. And I was like, so you're like me. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you hurt deeply, but you love deeply too, don't you? And she was like, yeah. I was like, you hurt deeply, but you can see when others are hurting, can't you? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you have what I have. And it sucks sometimes, but you can help a lot of people with that. Isn't it interesting that we get diagnosed with depression? We don't get diagnosed with empathy, because there are some beautiful parts of my emotion that I wouldn't give up, even though at times it's really overwhelming for me. So for me, it's all about, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against psychiatry or medication. I've seen it do wonders for people, but don't shut off that emotion. Channel it, because you have something inside of you that the world around you needs.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Loved having you on, man.
Awesome. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. So to all the fans out there, thanks for listening to the two of us. We both hope your unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of the coolest places I've ever visited. Every songwriter should spend some time in Nashville. Have a great night, everyone. Love you guys.
We enjoy victories, but they're few and far between. We see a picture and we know what it really means. Sweat to get better daily, struggle chasing bright lights. We're always hungry and working, chasing vibes every night. But there's a secret lost on all. I was told it long. It'll help you rock your show.
watch 9 Blade Blue, Dollywood 9 to 5, dreaming of a better life. Well, you know there's still a beat of Nashville whispering Taylor's ear. If you wanna find the charts, the breath of the past and magic here. It's just what you gotta do to let the music come to you. Every songwriter needs to spend some nights here in Nashville. So now you know what you gotta do to make it like the hitmakers do.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
This program was mixed and mastered by Landis Maitland-Whitelaw at landismaitlandwhitelaw.com.